The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the podcast. I'm really excited to have our guest on today. He's two-time best-selling author and founder of Think Multifamily, Mr. Mark Kinney. Mark, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Cody. How are you doing?
I am doing fantastic. It's really great to have you on here today. I know you're incredibly busy, so I appreciate the time. For our audience that maybe hasn't run across your bio yet, would you mind telling us a little bit about where you're from, how you got into real estate, and what kind of real estate you find yourself in today?
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me on. So I live in Dallas, Texas now. I grew up in Michigan, though, one of seven kids. Something we found out before the podcast. I'm an identical twin, and I know you have twins as well, Cody, which is, I'm sure, quite the three. So I remember my brother and I pretty young, and we were probably a handful from my parents, for sure. It gets easier, though, because we had a best friend to hang out with, which was good. But I started real estate pretty young. I was it was one of those things where I grew up and we had a place to live. We had food, which is more than a lot of people in the world for sure. But we didn't really have any extras. Anything we wanted, we had to pay for ourselves, and any money we could make, we would go out and work and things like that. And my dad worked a lot of hours and fixed things on the weekends and nights. And I was like, man, this kind of stinks. You know, I don't want to have to go through that when I'm an adult. So my twin brother and I said, well, you know, we're kind of analytical. So we graduated in accounting, CPAs, IT consultants, and things like that. But while we were a senior in college, we said, well, hey, we like real estate. You could touch it. You can feel it. Makes a lot of sense. Really didn't know what we were doing. But we ended up buying small, 2 to 4 unit properties. We self-managed, did everything, you know, including like shoveling snow and all that good stuff, you know, in Michigan. We both worked corporate world for a while, but my wife and I got married pretty young. We continued to buy, you know, kind of smaller properties. And then 2013, a friend of mine was syndicating. Frank, at the time, had never heard of syndication. It was the first time I heard about it. I invested in a deal passively with some retirement funds and said, well, hey, this makes a lot of sense. I mean, we're buying larger properties. I think it was like 116 doors, something along those lines. I had an IT business at the time. It was pretty successful, I guess, for a lot of practical purposes, from a financial standpoint, but very unsuccessful from a time management and spending time with my family. So it caused a lot of issues between my wife, Tamil, and myself, to the point where she's like, you need to do something different or you know, it's not going to work out. I said, well, hey, we both love real estate, but you're going to have to help me. And I literally was working like 90 hours a week at the time, like consistently every week. So we got our first deal basically after a year. It took us a long time to get it. And then after that, we just started syndicating. We've done, you know, over 10,000 units since then. And full-time multifamily, we don't really do anything else. I invest in other real estate as far as passively, but from an active perspective, it's 100% multifamily. And then we host events and things like that as well.
Well, that's great. I think that's a great story or kind of lineage to hear that you got into it early. You kind of understood what it takes to be in real estate from literally the ground level, shoveling snow. I love that. Probably don't have to do that quite as much in Texas anymore.
No, we would literally come home like, no joke, 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night working. My brother and I worked at the same company consulting, you know, and we would shovel snow and do whatever we had to do, right? But it was not fun. And I also, when I heard about larger properties and using third-party management companies to manage for us, that was kind of an aha moment and something I actually was very interested in looking further into.
Absolutely. Anything to get away from having to shovel snow, it sounds like at 11 o'clock at night under the lights. Sign me up for outsourcing that as soon as possible, especially from somebody who lives in the South and doesn't really experience snow that much. That sounds not fun. But Mark, I would imagine like a lot of our guests, you know, you are very successful by a lot of different ways and measurements, but it hasn't always been easy to get there. I'm sure there's been an experience or two that have come up in your tenure in real estate that have given you issue, whatever it may be. Would you mind telling us a little bit about one of those today?
Absolutely. So this is an experience I had, I don't even know, probably 4 years ago or so. It was a property. I had a partner. We bought a couple of deals together, and those were performing fine. He was a property manager as well. And then he had a property that he already owned with an investor, and that become important. I'll tell you why, but the investor wanted out of the deal, supposedly wanted to start investing in New York where he was from, and wanted, it was just, this was a Georgia property. So we syndicated the deal. I syndicated the deal, got his partner out of the deal, but we left the same LLC. So we did not create a new LLC. So that was kind of mistake number one in my mind. And there are a lot of people do that today. We have a property we're selling as well right now, and someone's buying our LLC. And it's usually because they want to, you know, for tax purposes. And this already had a mortgage set up, you know, with a lender and all good things. Well, it was a very big, large value add project. And we, in a short period of time, I made kind of a surprise visit down there to Georgia. This is probably, I don't know, maybe 6-7 weeks after we took over. We had, you know, a $2 million project we were doing, and go there. And there's literally one guy working there, like with his 15-year-old son. So I'm like, this doesn't seem right. Doesn't seem we're going to make much progress this way. You know, fortunately, we had a board director set up. So there are five of us, and this particular partner was one of the five. We made a demand about budget and, you know, all the things like where the money was being spent and all those things. And keep in mind, he was a property manager on this as well. He never produced what we asked him, you know, to produce. We removed him as manager, property manager, and also reduced his equity down and removed him as manager from the LLC, because we had the board of directors that could do that. So we voted for against, you know, him essentially. And when we did that, you know, it was pretty stressful just doing that by itself. But then what had happened was he was in collusion. I'll just say that. I mean, people can argue whether he was or not, with some vendors. And as soon as we removed him, pretty much as soon as we did, we started getting invoices. I'm not talking like one or two invoices. I'm talking hundreds of invoices from 9-10 months before I even got involved in the project, saying they were never paid. Keep in mind, it's against the LLC, right? So we didn't have a new LLC. And there were things for like, you know, hey, we painted this unit. We had absolutely no way whatsoever to prove whether, you know, 10 months ago the unit was painted or not. He says it was. The vendor says it was. We hired a forensic accountant that found some stuff that we thought was, you know, fairly damaging. We were in litigation. This went on for close to 2 years, I guess. Very, very stressful. You know, investors that are upset, rightfully so. We were, you know, the lender was upset. I had afloat operations for quite a while. And then we ran into issue, frankly, since we removed this particular person as a manager, he just threw his hands up and said, it's not my problem. He did a number of other things. I won't go into all the details, but he did a number of things that we were like, okay, this is completely obviously wrong, unethical, whatever you want to say. And then while this was going on, you know, ironically enough, he sued me for reducing his equity down, which is a little strange to me. So anyways, you know, no one really wins in a lawsuit. So we ended up litigation for quite a while. And then he, you know, unfortunately, it's very sad, he passed away during the litigation. And so that caused a lot of issues by itself. So basically a cluster, if you want to say, every respect. I think there are two main lessons learned, and maybe a third one as well. But the main two would be, I don't really want a partner as a property manager. I just don't. I'm not saying you can't be successful. I can't say, you know, it might be the best relationship you ever had. I don't like the idea of it, because he was doing construction work and stuff there too, right? So he kind of had his hands in every aspect of it. That's number one. And then taking over an existing LLC, I would never do that again either. Now, you could do that probably, you know, 100 times, never have a problem. I did it once. Had a major issue, never do it again. And then third piece, which we already had, this is more of a comment, and we raised more than we needed for the CapEx. And that was a lesson learned from doing previous deals. So that really wasn't a lesson learned on that particular deal, but it's a lesson learned from previous deals where we're always like, hey, you know, whatever, CapEx is 500 grand. We raised 500 grand for that. No, you need to raise more than that because something could come up. So we did raise a little extra for that. And then like I mentioned, I had to put, you know, a pretty substantial amount of money to pay the loan. We didn't have, you know, it wasn't cash flowing. It was like 40% occupied, all the things like that. So, you know, there were, you know, it's hard to prove things after the fact. It's hard to prove things if two people are agreeing. So, you know, he agreed that stuff was done. And then the vendor obviously said stuff was done. But it seems a little strange to me that none of this was recorded on the books. period. So people are like, well, how didn't you see this? Right. Well, it wasn't on record on the books. It doesn't matter. Now the LLC is being sued by a vendor, not one vendor, multiple vendors. Right. So, and then, so that's kind of, you know, we had to do when we did, we sold it, we had to do, there were liens against the property that were still there. We had a bond around those. And this just went on for months and months and months. By far the most stressful, if you want to say, experience ever I had, you know, in real estate or any other business. I've had other business as well, like IT business and things like that. This was by far the most stressful because it was one of those things where I couldn't control a lot of things happening. And, you know, I did, if you want to say, the best I could do, but at the end of the day, it was a very, stressful experience.
Sure. I mean, that definitely sounds like not an experience you want to go through, and you probably wouldn't want that anybody else to go through it. I'm interested though, with everything that you went through, for those that are maybe new or haven't gone through something like that, how much of your experience came into play with knowing how to handle that situation? How much did you rely on folks like your attorney, your accountant, things like that?
Yeah. You know, I never had to go through something like that before to that level. I mean, I can handle a lot of stress just in general. Anyone knows me will say that, right? But I was having a difficult time on this particular project. So we had relied a lot on the attorneys, especially because, and then the accountant, you know, she found a bunch of stuff, but it's pretty hard to prove it. And at one point in time after, I think just like 2 months into this, you know, I had over, I think, 1,400 emails between attorneys and me within a 2 month period. So I relied heavily on them. And then when we came around for the bonding around the liens and things like that, that was extremely complicated to get a sale. And you have to bond around it and you have to have more. It depends what type of lien it is, whether it's mechanical or not, how much you have to bond and all that stuff. So I learned a lot on that part. Hopefully I never have to go through that again. My whole thing was I could look back and in all seriousness, and you could ask, you know, any investor in the deal, did I personally do anything, you know, lack of integrity or lack of character? And no, I didn't. Was it a crappy experience? Yeah, it was. And I wish it never happened, but, I did, you know, the best I could do, and I didn't, you know, didn't hide anything and, had to put capital in and all those things. So, but yeah, I mean, going through at that point in time, I had probably done, I'm trying to think, maybe like half a dozen transactions, larger transactions. Now I've done over 60. But a lot of those things we went through, I had never gone through my career, period.
So it probably goes to say that even though there may be not actual partners inside the organization, having a great supporting cast, attorney, accountant, all those aspects that we maybe don't always think of, it's very important to have folks on your team that align with you, understand the industry you're in, what you're doing, and can help you through something like that. I think
without a doubt. Yeah, without a doubt.
I think that's as good enough as ever of a spot to just kind of wrap up. Mark, I truly appreciate all the lessons and the experience. Hopefully no one has to go through something like that. But yeah, if they do, so. if they find themselves in a similar situation, at least they have something to go off of and understand what are their ways that they can try and remedy. Mark, for those that maybe want to follow up with you, learn more about you and your experience and work with you, where's the best place people can find you?
They can email me, Mark, M-A-R-K, at thinkmultifamily.com. And our website's just thinkmultifamily.com as well.
Perfect. Mark, I really appreciate the time. I know, like I said at the very beginning, we're all incredibly busy, especially you. Thank you so much for jumping on here and talking with us and sharing it with our audience today.
Thanks for having me, Cody. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks, everyone. And we'll see everyone next time.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast with Cody Lewis. Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast.